Today's video is from my appearance on the One Fresh podcast, and I want to thank One Fresh Pillow for being such a great partner of the 2-Minute Drill on Bloomberg Television and Amazon Prime Video. Host Adrian Kautz, the co-founder of One Fresh Pillow, and I are going to discuss being okay with failure and how do we frame all of our obstacles. Tweet me at David Meltzer your favorite takeaway from today's episode and check the description for my email and text number. This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Okay, it's time again. Welcome to One Fresh Podcast. I'm the host, Adrian Kautz. And I have with me, I'm a little nervous because he's a super big deal. This lovely man is named David Meltzer. And if you are in the entrepreneur community, you know who he is because he legitimately has a podcast called The Playbook that's done by entrepreneur. So hello, you're the entrepreneur and you are in Sports One Marketing. That's your company. You're a best-selling author. 3 books are best-selling, and I don't know if you have more than that, but I can't keep up. And then my favorite stat about you is that you're an award-winning humanitarian. So David Meltzer, thank you so much for being willing to be on our tiny little podcast.
Well, I love that. My favorite part about being an award-winning humanitarian is what an oxymoron, right? To get an award for helping people. I the greatest honor that I ever got was I won the Variety Magazine Sports Humanitarian of the Year. And it was a big deal because Morgan Freeman, Seth Rogen, Gina Rodriguez, Matthew McConaughey, I was the only nobody. And my favorite part of the whole thing was they had me, they were so worried about me. They had me with the screen, the whole teleprompter. They kept telling me, do not go off the teleprompter. Do not go off there. You only have this many minutes. And I was backstage with Matthew McConaughey and Andre Reed introduced me, the Hall of Fame wide receiver.
Yeah.
And I look at the lady with the thing. I said, turn that off. She said, what? I said, turn that off. I'm not using it. You can leave it on, but it's just going to bug me. And she freaked out, but she turned it off. So I got up there and I loved it. I looked right at Morgan Freeman and I said, I can't believe I'm getting this honor because there's 2 questions everyone must be asking. 1, who the hell are you? And 2, why would they give a sports agent a humanitarian award? And then I said, I'm actually not even a philanthropist. I said, I'm a philanthropimp because I pimped out people like Morgan Freeman, Matthew McConaughey, Seth Rogen, and they're the ones that have sacrificed time and time and don't get the credit. Nobody knows how much they do, have given away their private lives for. And they really are one of the greatest things of working with celebrities, athletes, and entertainers is I don't think they get enough credit. I know a lot of people know they're high paid, but they don't get enough credit. They make every penny worthwhile because 99% of all the famous people that I know, they give far, far more than anyone could ever imagine.
Just your name dropping was a moment of you've been around all these amazing people. And it's got to be so nice to Aaron and I have dreams about what we'll do when we finally are what we call pillionaires. We want to be pillow millionaires, right?
Nice.
And we want this boat and we want stuff. But then we always are talking about oh my God, we'll be able to do this nice thing for that person or that nice thing for that person. Or won't it be fun? We can always do annual trips with these people. I don't know. There's something so fun about being able to give back, and gift giving is my love language. I'm the worst. I was trying to give, we had friends come over the other day and they left and I was giving them this candle I just bought because I love it. I'm just take it with me. It with you. And Aaron's what are you doing? That's weird. I'm no, I just, it feels good to give to people,
And once again, counterintuitively, what I teach people is to receive, because everyone loves to give and it's so easy to give. And where most people have a difficult time, and I imagine, Adrian, you're the same way, is you have a problem receiving. And
100%.
And ironically, you can't give what you don't receive. So I, have one of the top executive business coaching practices with the biggest chairmen of big companies, as well as entrepreneurs. But I teach most of the time, hey, you're worthy of everything you receive, or you need to ask. Those 2 things are so essential in being a millionaire, whatever.
Pillionaires.
Yeah, billionaire. I love that. But it's so essential to teach people to receive. And that was the major shift that I went through 15 years ago. Blessed to lose everything. I was a great entrepreneur, very scarce, very competitive, running the most notable sports agency in the world at the time. Had everything I ever dreamed of. I gave to receive, just as you're suggesting. And the biggest shift in my life was I realized I'm doing this backwards, that giving to receive is a trade and negotiation. It actually is a scarce world that I'm living still. And now I have to transform into the trust and faith of the universe that there's enough of everything for everyone. And the other side that's super cool is entrepreneurs became celebrities. So my whole life, I was Lee Steinberg guy or the CEO of the world's first smartphone or Warren Moon's business partner. I didn't really even have a name. And right. Then 3.5 years ago, after meeting Gary Vaynerchuk and helping him with his sports agency, he convinced me that I could be a brand. And last night during Halloween with my mask on, you know, whatever delivery guy was coming down the street, he stops his car in front of all my neighbors. It was the ego smashing boost for me. And he's like, "Hey, are you David Meltzer?"
With the mask on?
Yeah, I thought he was going to serve me. You know, like all my neighbors are like looking, and a lot of them don't know what I do or you know anything about me, and because you know those are like the whole neighborhood. And he's like tearing up. "You changed my life, man. Thank you so much." And everyone's looking like, "What does your husband do?" Like this, you know, 19, 20 year old kid is like,
doctor.
It was so awesome, right? I just said, "Hey, thank you so much," and it was. It made my whole night that I impacted someone I didn't even know that was so young. I call it planting seeds under trees I may never sit under, but I know that I truly impacted that young man, and he's going to go out and do really good things because he really knew a lot of the things that I'm teaching, and I know they work.
I love that. Like, and you, I mean, mention Gary, and he is one of the first people that Aaron and I, when we started our company, we still don't really know what we're doing. We're still like fumbling through it. But
joining my club.
Right. But like, we didn't know what we were doing, but we knew we had this idea. And so we kind of like, okay, we're going to be entrepreneurs. And we started listening to Gary. And one of the amazing things about Gary, and I see it from you as well, what we love about you is your positive energy and that you guys have like no ego. You're so giving and like so just generous about everything, and that you want to give this information. You want to help other people. And, you know, sometimes it's hard to stay positive all the time, but you and Gary as well, you just are always so positive and uplifting. And, you know, I grew up in the 80s, and so it was like Wall Street, big bucks, like such a like a money grabby kind of idea that I had of big business. And so I love that people like you are getting this fame and showing like you don't have to be a jerk to be successful at what you're doing. You don't have to be, you know, a bad person. Like you can be the kind of person where you can still sleep at night because you know that like you're doing the right things as a business person. So like, it's really inspiring to know that you don't have to be cutthroat. You can help other people. You know, like it's not some, we're not in a battle against each other. We all can coexist and be here together, right?
Right, a tree has no branches. One branch should not go to war against another branch. You're gonna kill the tree. One of the other interesting nuances of what you're talking about too, is that Gary in my life, just so you know, sucks the same amount of time that your life sucks and Aaron's life, everybody's life. And I, you know, and I learned this being around so many celebrities, athletes, and entertainers running the sports agency and the marketing firm that I ran. It was like, gosh, you know what they do better is they get back to happiness faster. So I call it minutes and moments, right? I don't want to spend more than minutes or moments in a negative mindset. I don't want to spend minutes or moments in the ego-based consciousness that you're suggesting. That, and it is a practice to identify the need to be right, offended, separate, inferior, superior, anxious, frustrated, angry, guilty, resentful, all those feelings that we get that ruin our lives, that waste our time, our money, and our resources. And I think Gary and I share that same quality of minutes and moments. And it appears to everyone else, like, how are these guys, like, I get it all the time, right? How are you so motivated? How do you stay so positive? How are you so inspired all the time? I'm probably faced with as much, you know, a percentage of negative things that everybody else is. I just spend minutes and moments there. I don't spend like I used to hours, days, weeks, months, and years. In fact, if you aggregated or accumulated just the amount of time you spent worried about things that never happened, you would probably be the millionaire. I can't even say it, but whatever that millionaire. Anyway, we'll get it by the end of the show, but you can be whatever you want to be. So I tell everyone out there, practice spending minutes and moments in ego, and you'll exponentially get what you want more rapidly and accurately.
I love that. I mean, I'm still young, only 40, but that was kind of a big deal for me. And I've tried a lot. 'Cause you still feel the same. It doesn't matter how old you are. You still think you're like a 16-year-old, whatever.
Yeah.
But I have always been an extremely anxious person. I'm very risk averse, and I would get very stressed and upset if I couldn't control something, if I felt like I was kind of at the will of other people, and I had so much anger. And I finally, literally in the past couple of years, and I'm having an epiphany with you right now. Oh my God. I think it's because it's like when we started this business, because you don't know what's going to happen. I really think that being entrepreneurs and just kind of opening ourselves up to like, okay, this could be a huge mistake, but we're ready to at least try it, right? Like the fear of never trying it was worse than the fear of trying it and like completely eating shit and just like ruining our lives. And that was kind of my first foray into like, I may not succeed. I'm not setting myself up for failure, but I've always set myself up for success. Like I'm not going to do something if I don't think I can be good at it. And so having our company has helped me get more comfortable with the idea of, okay, you're going to fail. And like, it's okay. We'll be able to recover. And even if we can't recover, my mantra at the beginning was, we'll never be homeless, because we won't, because my in-laws are wonderful and we would move in with them, Right. And so, I mean, you've already mentioned it a little bit, but like, I always like to talk about in the show, like shit happens. And I like to know from other people, because we know like everyone fails. Like it's just part of life. And I watched a video of yours where you talked about when you do your speeches that you ask everyone like, who's failed today? And they're all like, ah, but we need to like, I think, normalize failure. And so even someone like you, I know this because Aaron and I we know about you, but people that are watching may not know. Even you had a big failure, and you already kind of mentioned it, but you filed for bankruptcy.
I just not only filed for bankruptcy, the lessons that I learned from losing over $100 million. I spoke about it last night when that kid came by, because the neighbors started asking about me and people started pulling up videos, and it became a whole thing. And for me, all I sat there is going, don't get your ego. Don't let your ego get out of control. Be humble. I literally put radical humility on my nightstand, because the natural being allows us to go right back into those same lessons. And that's how I ended up losing everything, was my ego. And so, understanding that framework. Gary does it all the time too, not to bring him back into the conversation, but when you can frame things like, I'll be fine. Like for me, there's two heartbeats. One, I'm not done until my heart stops. My brain can stop, my eyes can stop, my arm can fall off, but I'm not done until my heart stops. That's a given. So that's a baseline for my life. The other baseline for my business is I'm not done until my heart stops. People put opening and closing on the names of their businesses, their LLCs, the S-Corps. I don't. I see all the business that I do as an evolution. So even if I have to, what I call, angle to something better,
yeah,
and give it a different name and has a different product. And the reason I say that is the greatest companies we have, from Amazon to Google to Yahoo, really big companies that I was involved with early on, they were not the businesses they are today, right? I joked around with one of my TikTok videos, Bezos, and someone edited out the if. I said, if I would have met Bezos 25 years ago, and he told me, and I'm a dreamer, I'm a big dreamer, he would have told me, Dave, I'm starting a bookstore in my garage to sell books online. I'm going to be the richest man on the world someday. I would have laughed at him like they laugh at me, right? I applaud him now, right? But he doesn't have a bookstore online, by the way. That's not his business. And Yahoo's not an index, and Google's not a search optimization tool.
Right.
Those are not the businesses. So have they failed? Absolutely. That's what failure is, an indicator, not a stop sign. And I'm going to repeat this. Failure is not a stop sign. Most people, 99% of the people, stop when they have failure. For me, it's a turn signal, for an indicator that you have a lesson to learn, to angle to a better position, a better situation, or make your situation better. Therefore, as long as my heart keeps beating, I'm going to not only be happy where I'm at the right place at the perfect time, angle to better places, learning from what? The failures, mistakes that are indicators or turn signals. But here was the biggest nuance. We kind of talked about it first at the interview, was the faith that I want to receive, this radical humility that we're discussing. So the newfound power, superpower that I have, is not only am I happy where I'm at, angling to something better as I make mistakes and failures every day, but I have faith that I'm going to end up somewhere better than that. Like, even, see, I have no limitations. I live between limitlessness and infinity now. So I have to use faith, because I can't comprehend via my weak senses and my weaker memory what actually exists. I can't even fathom what it's like to reach 4.4 billion people. I can't even fathom to reach the millions of people I reach every week. I can't. So I have to have one thing, faith. And those faith have to be based off of your own values. And I take inventory of those, and I meditate, and I do all these things only for one reason, is I want to strengthen my faith, not my practical skills, knowledge, and desire.
And I think you kind of have to, if you're going to survive emotionally and physically, because having your own business is a lot of stress. I think you do have to have that sense of faith that it's going to be okay. Like, you can't dwell on the negative, because you'll die. You'll just implode, because there's a lot of negative. There's a lot of things that are stressful. We have stressful things going on all the time, but oddly enough, the more you get used to it, you know, it's just like, it's like exercising a muscle. Like, I think failure, like, exercises a muscle that a lot of people don't get to exercise. And the more you exercise it, you get better at it. And like you said, you learn from it instead of just like completely collapsing over it. And it does take, back to your idea of like, it takes a lot of faith. And I'm not where you are by any means. Like,
you don't have three teenage daughters, as many employees and overhead that I have. So put those three things together. Just three teenage daughters will polish your soul, increase your, it's like literally running a marathon a day. I, you know, have a friend who set the world record, the Guinness Book of World Record, right? And he's kind of bragging about, you know, this physical feat of running a half a marathon every day for an entire month or whatever he did. I'm like, ah, that's cool. But you know, I got a 21 and 19 year old and a 16 year old, you know, gorgeous daughters.
They're so beautiful.
Right. I'm like, try that on for size. You want to work a muscle out? I am practicing ending fear every single day.
Eric's laughing in the corner because our daughter's 10. And like,
praise her right now. Corner, man. Hug her. Cause she's not going to hug you in a little while.
I know, but like right now,
unless you consider this a hug.
100%.
I'm disappointed people that only hear this. I'm pointing my number one finger in the middle, because that's what I get from my daughter sometimes.
I just show him. Oh my God. But then again, you kind of have to have a little faith that they'll work out and, you know, it'll all be good. But yeah, oh my gosh. I was looking at pictures of them earlier on your Instagram, and I was like,
yesterday's pictures killed me, those Halloween costumes. My 10-year-old said, "Who's that?" I go, "That's your sister." And his eyes got really big because they had the sexy outfits on, you know? Yeah. And oh my gosh, I'm like, I didn't know what to say. I just put the phone down. I looked at my wife. She said, "David." I go, "Okay, all right, I'm not saying anything. They're at college. Let them live
what their life." What you gonna do? Oh my God. I love talking to you. Like, I was nervous, like seriously, was nervous, but did you do this all the time? And like, we're just little, you know, tiny people.
It's so good because I have lived in that space a long time. You know, I had to evolve myself because the ones that made me most nervous when I first started was the Pro Football Hall of Fame, because those were my heroes.
Yeah.
And, you know, I never got nervous around Cam Newton and Andrew Luck and, you know, all these young athletes.
They
were kids to me. Like, I don't really care. But, like, you know, Joe Montana and Joe Namath and Dan Fouts.
Emmitt Smith.
Yeah. Troy Aikman, who was actually our client, right? I was, like, trying to pretend that I wasn't nervous, right? Because I was a CEO. They were counting on me. And it was so fun to, like, work through all that. And now it's really very peculiar that anyone would get nervous talking to me because of so many years that I would be nervous talking to everyone else. And that's where that celebrity side of entrepreneurship is so much fun for me is, you know, could have been better timing in my life that I'm young enough where the young people can relate to me, but I'm old enough where I get the Lee Steinberg legend icon, you know, status with them that I'm not just some kid standing in front of a car I don't own or a house that I rented. You know, they know I've been through it, and I talk about more what I have lost and the lessons I've learned. And very rarely will you ever hear me talk about anything I own other than, you know, the Volt, because I want to show people, hey, I used to have Ferraris and Porsches and
now I've got an electric car.
Exactly. I actually like the Prius too, but I need the gas because the battery side of running out really bothers me. I need a little bit of gas, you know, just in case the kids unplug it or something.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that. So what's your baby, like your most passionate project that you're working on right now? Because I know, you know, you've got your a lot of irons and a lot of fires, but like, you don't have to pick a favorite, but what's the one that speaks to your heart and like you're the most passionate about right now?
So I have one mission that everything falls under. So I'm going to list them out underneath it, but I only have one mission in my life. And I believe, and people can laugh at me, make fun of me for it. My family did. They asked me if I thought I was Tony Robbins or Jesus Christ. Those are the two most common. But I believe that I can, in my lifetime, I'm 52 years old. I've been on this specific mission for 2 years. I know I'm going to live over 111. I was born on January 11th at 111. And I used to say that I was going to die on January 11th, 111, when I was 111. And Diane Cannon, who I share my Laker seats with, she started to cry. I'm like, what's the matter? She goes, why are you limiting yourself? So now I say over 111. Anyway, my mission is to find 1,000 people like you and your husband, to find 1,000 people, to find 1,000 people, to empower them to be happy. Our biggest problem right now is happiness. Happiness is a virus that we're not spreading enough. It's a virus that we can spread by witnessing it. We don't have to touch each other. It goes right through your mask. It's amazing. But the cool thing about happiness is it strengthens you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and financially. It also strengthens your immune system, so it will protect you against all other viruses, more than a mask, happiness will. And so I am on a mission in my lifetime to plant those seeds that I may never sit under, to empower others to be happy. 1,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000. 1,000,000 times 1,000 is 1,000,000,000. I know for sure that, and I'm humbly saying this, that if I can impact over 1,000,000,000 people to be happy, teach them principles and daily activities and practices and mindset and heart set to be happy, to find the light, the love, and the lessons, to learn that everybody's life sucks, that the first 10 minutes of everything sucks, all the little things that I teach, and for free, I do trainings every Friday for free for a reason. Come for free. I give the replays. You know, Spotify was blessed me to feature my trainings, feature my podcast for empowering people to be happy. Like literally following my lead, and people are responding more than those famous people that you've seen on my podcast. My number one downloaded podcast now is my trainings, my free trainings. That I know I'm on the right thing. But if we can empower 1,000,000,000 people or more to be happy, that's a collective consciousness on the earth. And one particle of light overcomes 1,000,000 particles of darkness. So
we need some light particles, my friend.
Yeah. And that's my goal. And so what do I do to do it? Please, free trainings on Friday. I have a podcast for free. I give my books for free. I give my exercises, my guides. I have a training course for free. all of that for free. I have two TV shows. You know, Elevator Pitch is in season 6. I've taken myself off of that. It's a little bit too VC oriented now. So I'm just an executive producer. So I went back to my roots, and I have a TV show coming out in January on Bloomberg TV, at every airport and hotel room, on Amazon Prime. It's called 2 Minute Drill. You get 2 minutes, and we have $50,000 of cash and prizes for every winner of every episode. No funding part. It's all pitch. It's me teaching people how to pitch.
That's so fun.
Yeah, 2 minute drill. So that's super exciting. But you know what's fun about that is that I never liked the funding part of those shows, you know, Dragon's Den in Canada or Shark Tank, because most people don't know, like even in our show, not to diminish it, but people lie, cheat, like the vetting process after you fund a deal, very few of them actually pass.
Go through. Yeah.
Right. But if you focus a show just on pitching, you can help everybody, because that's a realistic input. You know, if you pitch me on my show, your 10-year-old eating broccoli or a $1 billion deal, I'm going to be able to give you real advice that you can take and use to get you on your way to funding or accelerating or selling or whatever it is. So Bloomberg picked it up. It's going to be a huge show. Very, very excited. But all of the things that I do, every single, the IG lives, the LinkedIn lives, the office hours, the list goes on, like you said. What's most exciting is I have a direction, a funnel that every single person that I'm looking for along that way is, can I empower them not only to be happy themselves, but to teach them to teach somebody else to teach somebody else? Because that gives me the exponentiality. Even though I have the reach to do it, I think the way to do it is to find people like you that I know have the capacity to go 2 levels down. And we can do this together. And if I use all of those things aggregated together, you never know what resonates where or how. The internet's so big. You can never do enough or post enough, by the way. You know, I'll give a little bit of branding advice for those people out there. In order to find your frequency, if you don't post enough to annoy your family and friends, where somebody says to you, hey, you know, what are you doing? You're bugging me. That's way too much stuff. Then you reach the minimum amount. You've getting started. When you get someone to complain to you that you're posting too much, don't be worried. Don't be embarrassed. Just say thank you and keep posting more and more. That's the best.
We're going to do better at that.
Gary Vee told me that. It took me literally, I just started getting it the last 3 months in COVID, what he meant. Every time like we'd have help sessions, he'd grab my Instagram and every time of the same advice, you're not posting enough. Your shit's great. Not posting enough. Not posting enough. I'm like, Gary,
how can I possibly post more? Everyone's going to hate my guts.
Yeah, not true. People actually get to know you. So it's wonderful. So keep posting, everybody out there. We got a couple minutes before I got my coaching session, my oldest and original group. Anything for the last 2 minutes?
No, I'm so thankful that you were on here. Honestly, like, it's just such a light, like, talking to you. I joke that I'm dead inside, but when you were, like, I try to shove all my emotions down, but when you were talking about like how you want to spread happiness to other people, like I legitimately kind of started tearing up. I was like, it's just so like pure and beautiful. And I mean, just everything that you do, how genuine you are, how giving you are of your time, the fact that you did this for free, you know, like you're just such a good a nice person. And so I'm so appreciative of you and you've talked to us before and given us advice, but the fact that you're willing to do this is just so wonderful. And so I hope that everyone will follow you, and maybe this was their introduction to you, but I hope they'll follow you online, and we're going to put all the links and everything. So no worries, but thank you. And then my final question is, how do you sleep at night? What are you sleeping on? What position are you in? How many hours?
The most important thing for everyone to realize is my tomorrow starts today. So I start my sleep with an unwinding routine for tomorrow. So I 8 hours, your sleep is a subconscious and unconscious workout. You need to warm up for a workout. 8 hour workouts, especially, you got to warm up for. So number one thing is an unwinding routine is a warm up for sleep. And what I do is I sleep at 67 degrees. I have it completely dark. At 9 o'clock at night, I start my unwinding routine. So no negative energy, caffeine, alcohol, no difficult conversations. I keep my energy level to the highest frequency, and my tomorrow starts today. So I'm using all my energy up. I'm not wasting anything that I'm giving everything that I have, and I'm trying to receive as much as I can to give tomorrow. But it's like a bank card. Every morning I think of my life is I get this bank card and it's full, but I don't know if it's going to be full tomorrow. So I'm going to spend everything on it. And I do that energetically. I don't like to waste time in ego-based consciousness. Minutes and moments are where I try to spend those times. But most importantly, you know, for me, it's literally the unwind routine. I just pass out. I don't know. Sometimes it's 9:05, but I have to be passed out by 11 in order to get up at 4. Except for this morning, it was so easy with the time change.
Yeah. We were joking about that earlier.
I can't believe how much I got done before this interview. Anyway, I got to jump to my original coaching call with the
David,
original.
Thank you so much. You're a treat.
Oh, thank you so much. I look forward to it. Let's do this again.
Yeah, thank you. Have an awesome day, buddy.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed today's episode in any way or found any value, screenshot it, share it, however you like. My only ask is you help me empower others to be happy.